Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Hope you're having a great Tuesday, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whoever you're with. You're dreaming about the Packers whooping up on the Bears yet again. And then, you know, starting to maybe possibly come down just a little bit here late Tuesday afternoon as it settles in that the Packers have a pretty stiff test ahead of them in Denver on Sunday. But what I wanted to kind of touch on today, and it'll be brief, and this session will probably be brief because we have happy hour, the top of the hour. If you're a Patreon member, Care of the G Club member here on YouTube, the information is on your pages. Join us at 6 Eastern, 5 Lambo time. But I did want to talk real quickly about Javon Bullard and his play, his level of play, which I will admit at the beginning of the season was a bit inconsistent, a little bumpy start to 2025. I don't think that's being unkind or unfair. Certainly there were good moments, but you also saw some of the inconsistencies that you also saw his rookie year. But the way he has rounded into form over the course of the last half of the season, man, he is becoming an indispensable part of Jeff Hafley's defense. He's, you know, when you talk about Hafley last week at the podium, talking about how he's become one of the best players on their defense, I got to admit, my initial reaction was, okay, that's a coach really kind of gassing up his guy. But man, you go back and you watch the last couple games and you include this Bears game, where he didn't even practice on Thursday and Friday, yet there he is on Sunday out there making plays, triggering on the quarterback outside the pocket, making physical plays at the point of attack in the run game. This is a guy who has just become a real integral part of the Packers defense. And over the course of, I want to say, the last four games in particular, but certainly the back half of the season, he has become a really consistently good player down in and down out, no matter what type of offense they're facing, no matter what role he's being asked to play. And it's just a good reminder, because I do know this summer there were plenty of reports from training camp. I was there where, you know, Bullard maybe had a rough kind of couple plays in coverage, or a certain session maybe didn't go his way, and that gets tweeted out. And I just remember the cascade of, oh, well, you know, he really struggled his rookie year in coverage and he's going to struggle again. And people make these sweeping proclamations. The whole point of draft and develop is letting the develop happen. And even again, like I said, at the first start of the part of this year, there were still real interesting, really promising flashes. But then you would also see some rough moments, some inconsistencies. But man, you talk about a guy making that kind of leap from year one to year two doesn't always automatically happen right away, but it is happening for Javon Bullard right now, right before our eyes. He has become a very consistently good player, and there's still a lot ahead of him. I'm not saying he's arrived, not saying he's ready to be an all pro or anything like that, but man, you can play a lot of winning football on defense with Javon in your corner. Man, this is a guy who needs to be on the field. You can see why Hafley wants to devise ways of making sure he's still on the grass, whatever their kind of approach is defensively for the types of different offenses they're going to face from week to week. He has become a very good player, and it's great to see. Hopefully, yes, on Sunday, he keeps it up here down the stretch into the playoffs, hopefully deep into the postseason. But I did want to just kind of shout it out because, like I said, I know there was a lot of kind of grumbling, let's say, social media proclamations about how, you know, he wasn't a very good player and he was going to get exposed in coverage. I'll tell you what, that has not happened over the course of the last month. He has been outstanding. So shout out Javon Bullard. People come along at different rates, and he is certainly rounding into shape and becoming a very, very important, if not indispensable, part of the Green Bay Packers defense. Really good stuff from Javon. What's going on, everybody? Good to see you all chiming in here, already piling up the super chats and the chats and talking and saying hello. Good to see everybody. Thank you so much each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels, Packers Daily with Packers fans worldwide, because that's what we're all about. You guys know, got to give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare. Really appreciate their support as well as yours. Shout out to ThetaCare. ThetaCare is your home and your home team for bone, joint, and muscle care. From sprains to surgeries, they've got the playbook to keep you moving. So when pain tries to take you out of the game, trust the experts who know how to win with ThetaCare Orthopedic Care. Proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, let's get to it. What's on your mind? We got Joe starting us off. What's up, man? I foresee a Packer record punt in the Denver air. Very possible. I mean, look, he being Daniel Whelan, of course, has already hit like a 72-yarder. Now, that's a pretty damn impressive punt. Unfortunately, it did roll into the end zone, although it had a good bounce. But yeah, it's possible, man. Maybe they are backed up and Whelan uncorks one for like 85, 90 yards. Let's go. Although I do remember, was it J.K. Scott or was it Boho Blast Bomb guy who had like a 90-yarder against San Diego a couple years ago? I can't remember. But I do remember there was a monster punt out west at some point. GB Faithful, what's going on, man? My buddy Frank Crum plays for Denver. Should be fun. Well, I hope he's ready for a bad afternoon when the Packers come to town and whoop up on the Denver Broncos. We'll see. E4, what's going on, man? Yeah, there was that one game a while back, but I have no feelings about the Broncos. Just beat them. It was that one game. You mean the Super Bowl? That was a rough one, man. I said it on the radio this morning. I don't have many fond memories of the Packers playing in Denver. The only recent one that is, you know, positive is the overtime bomb from Favre to Greg Jennings on the first play of overtime. You know, that's it though. Like, outside of that play, I don't have a ton of fond memories of the Packers playing in Denver. Hell, the last time Matt LaFleur took a team out to Denver, remember, they were just kind of in the wake of giving up 70 to Miami, and everyone was like, oh, the Packers offense, if they don't turn it on this week, they'll never turn it on. And they went out to Denver and could barely score. You know, it has just not been a real welcoming place for the Packers. Hasn't been a great time. And they have a legit great defense. And we're going to be playing in their house. So that is going to be, you know, less than optimal. Let's put it that way. Brett, couldn't agree with this more. List of importance in life. 1, meaningful December football at Lambeau. 2, oxygen. 3, sleep. Yeah, man. There is something so fantastic about life when the weather turns, it gets cold wherever you are. Certainly got cold this last couple days here in New York. Got the Christmas lights up. You know, the tree is up in my living room. Packers are playing really important football games at Lambeau Field in the cold. You know, those dudes are lining up. The sun sets so early that it's a night game by the second half, and you see their breath kind of pre-snap. It's kind of like the old Madden animation. Something so great about it, man. Like, just like, it's everything that's right with life. Could not agree more, man. Oh, Peter, thank you so much. Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook and for the kind words. I really appreciate it. Peter Shank, thank you so much, man. Don Chandler had a 90-yard punt in 1965. Well, there you go. If that's the record, that's the record. That is the one, man. Broncos too close to Bears, so they still suck. Well, that's one way of looking at it, certainly. Oh, that's a really interesting question. Complicated fellow. What's a day in the life of Nags when not being on air? Mostly just dealing with all the other stuff that Cheesehead TV is, you know, part of regarding business stuff and having to make stuff happen with, you know, the website or social media or all of our many business kind of connections, whether it's merch or the beer or what have you. Ain't like I ain't working, man. But, you know, mostly if all that stuff is done, it's like it's a Saturday, right? And let's say my kids are out like somewhere else because now they're older and grown and have their own lives and do stuff. And I've just left to my own devices. I'll do one of two things. I'll either work on music for Motel Men or I will play Madden until someone makes me stop. Those are the two simplest things in my life that I really love to do that have nothing to do with football or Cheesehead TV or the Packers. That's my stuff right there. What else we got here, folks? Menace, how you doing, man? I don't want to jinx it, but Denver equals frauds. They're Chicago with a better defense. This streak of one-score game wins isn't sustainable, and we fucking end it this week. I mean, from your super chat to the football god's ears, I would not call them frauds. I think they're a really good football team. I think they're limited offensively. I think their quarterback is still figuring it out because he's very young and only in year two. But, man, Sean Payton, as much grief as I give the idea that Sean Payton is this superstar, amazing head coach when Mike McCarthy always gets kind of poo-pooed and put down, I think Mike McCarthy is a better coach than Sean Payton. With that said, Sean Payton's still really good. And he will get the most out of that team. Certainly, their defense, especially in their building, there's nothing fraudulent about that. But, hey, man, they have won a ton of close games. There is zero doubt there. That is very true. And hopefully the Packers can end that streak and get on the right side of it. No doubt about it. E4. I have another game a while back. Broncos just beat them. See, that's the perfect way to approach this game. Soder, what's up? Broncos wear orange. Enough said. Oh man, that's just too close to like the Super Bowl game. I know they wore the blue, but like that whole era, like I can't. The Traveling Panda, how are you, man? I'm super excited to see the banner reveal for the Bears. Week 14 division champs, baby. I mean, look, we're first in the North right now, but that don't mean a whole hell of a lot, right? I don't begrudge Bears fans for being excited last week about being number one in the NFC, right? I mean, think about where that fan base has been, especially this time of year for the past, two decades? More often than not, they're looking at draft possibilities, right? So, I get it. But yeah, it is kind of funny that probably decent chance that that's their major accomplishment of the season, which would be hilarious. GB, don't remind me of this. Packers have exactly one victory ever in Denver. Yeah, well, history is going to change. I mean, this just reminds me of the fact that the Packers hadn't won in Pittsburgh since 1970 when Bart Starr was still the quarterback. Not the coach, the quarterback. And the Packers ended that streak a couple weeks ago. So here we go. Let's take care of this other one, too. Let's slay this dragon as well. The past is not necessarily prologue, my friends. Evan, thank you for becoming a Care of the G Club member. Really appreciate the support. Hope to see you on Happy Hour in a couple minutes here, a half hour or so. Dennis is here. How are you, Dennis? Good to see you. This is a good point. So new defensive tackle Bohana nickname is Big Bo. So is Melton now Little Bo? I'm sure that's fine with Bo Melton if he's allowed to continue to catch touchdowns. You know, it's as long as he's, still able to go out there and run routes and be an option in the passing game, I'm sure he's having a good time no matter what they call him. New York Cheese said, this is interesting. We ain't exactly killing teams. This is in response to the Broncos winning all these one-score games. This is very true. Although, it's a whole different world when you're scoring 28 points as opposed to like 13 or 16 or winning by, whatever. And, having to rely on a last-second swat of the ball when you're about to lose to the Commanders. It's a little different. But you're right, man. That's the NFL. Things are close. LaFleur always talks about the fact that most of these games do come down to a handful of plays. And the Packers have been making most of those. Not every one of them, but most of them. Holy cow, Dale Norton wrote a paragraph here. No one is talking about the altitude in Denver. Dale, I guarantee you, buddy. I don't know if, possibly maybe in the corners of Facebook that you are residing in, they are not talking about the altitude, but I guarantee you, buddy, a billion people are talking about the altitude. That's all I've heard about for the last 48 hours. Flatlanders Packers play at 627 feet above sea level, but Broncos play at 5,280 feet. It takes weeks to adjust to that altitude. Packers will be gassed quickly, and there will be a need for the fast substitutions, and Packers likely will tire faster than the Broncos, thus the need to get ahead early and pour it on. Yes, I very much agree with your assessment. You are not wrong. Faithful, what's going on, man? Getting buried by 78 feet of snow here in Minneapolis. And I love how you didn't finish Minneapolis. It's just Minneapolis. Like, you, the roof caved in while you were typing it, and the snow just fell all over you, and you couldn't finish typing Minneapolis. Well, stay warm, my friend. Actually, just texted with my sister who lives in Minneapolis, and she said, yeah, it's definitely a winter wonderland. Michael, thanks for the super chat, man. Our defense seems to give up more yards and points in the second half. Is it just me, or is that just kind of how it goes in today's NFL? Go, Pack, go. Somewhat. That does tend to happen more often than not in games where, you know, it's not so much. I know people talk about halftime adjustments, but also it is about complementary football. And we've talked about that a lot in the wake of this game. But, you know, if the Packers can put up some more points there at the start of the second half, turn the Bears into a more one-dimensional attack, Packers are able to pin their ears back, probably get off the field a little easier. And that's a very different looking game. But because of the fact that, you know, they don't really come out and put many points on the board, and the Bears are able to keep that playbook wide open, it allows them to continue to attack you in a lot of various differing ways. And then you start to get tired, and then things that weren't working in the first half start to open up in the second half. You're able to control things a little bit more. Now, the one advantage that defenses have in this regard, of course, is the way they can, especially up front, they're able to send more kind of a wave of bodies at you in a way that, you know, you've only got those five starting offensive linemen more often than not who are on the field every single play. But yeah, if you're able to keep your entire playbook open, and the longer you are able to, the more you can, you know, keep the defensive coordinator guessing, especially given what the Packers were giving up on first down during a lot of those kind of extended drives in the second half. If you're sitting at second and three, man, you are licking your chops as a play caller. You've got the world open to you. And it becomes a lot harder for not just the guys on the field, but for Jeff Hafley to dial in and say, okay, I absolutely know this is the kind of thing they're going to be reaching for. You have no idea. And that's what makes it really difficult. So, yeah, a lot of times, you've seen this happen so many times where teams get out to big leads. Like, look at the Eagles a couple weeks ago, 21-0 over Dallas, right? Dallas just starts chipping away and then starts kind of finding their equilibrium in the second half, and they win the game. It does happen quite a bit, no doubt about it. Brett, how you doing, man? Matt LaFleur in trouble / gone if one and done again in the playoffs? What an odd question in the middle of a four-game winning streak. I doubt it. Are you pining for that? That's such a weird question to ask on, what is it, December 9th, after they have won three division games in a row, by the way, and first place in the NFC North. I get the Super Bowl is the goal, but they're playing pretty damn well. They're rounding into shape. If they go one and done, how does it happen? What does it look like? What was the tenor of the game? Why did they lose? There's all sorts of things that can only be answered by the game itself. I mean, probably not. They are hitting their stride right when they should be. They've still got the youngest team in the league, and they are one of the best teams in the NFL on December 9th. You don't hang a banner for that, but you certainly don't fire the coach because of it. That's just me. I mean, I don't know. You can't read tenor or get, you know, tone on text, so maybe you're just asking in kind of very non-specific ways, but every time you hear that kind of thing, I'm just like, what? For who? Who are you hiring? Who are you bringing in that is going to close the deal that Matt LaFleur can't, supposedly? You know what I mean? And don't even start with, like, the John Grudens of the world, because then I know that I don't have to pay attention. Well, I don't know if this is strictly true. Why do people always talk about, quote, thin air in Denver, but never question how Denver players are affected by the thicker or heavier air slowing them down in other cities? It's a mind game. No, no, sir, no. It's not thicker air. It's more oxygen, like, which is a good thing. They have become adept to playing in the, quote, thinner air or at altitude. But more oxygen is not going to hinder you. That is certainly not a thing. Was that a Superdome reference? Maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. GBP Faithful, what's up, man? Winter, what the hell am I doing here, land? I mean, that's just part of living up north, dude. Welcome to it. I like seasons. That's just me. In fact, what stinks now is because of whatever you want to call it, you know, some people still deny climate change, but certainly New York right now is so different than it was when I first got here in the year 2000, as far as the seasons and how cold it gets when and how much snow we get and all that is entirely different now. But I do miss it. I miss having more snow here in New York. But man, I kind of love it. I love seasons. I like the cold. I hate how long it stays warm now. I mean, it's hot like through October into the early part of November. I hate that. Justin. Still beating that McAfee horse, huh, Nags? One tweet. Are you okay? Are you going to be all right? I'm sorry. Whenever he straight up apologizes for questioning Brian Gutekunst's mental acuity, then I'll stop. But he's never done so. He's tried to explain it away, but he's never apologized. So, no, yeah, I'm still going to beat that horse. If he ever wants to look into camera and straight up apologize for questioning Brian Gutekunst's intelligence, yeah, then I'll stop. But until then, nah, I'm going to go to my grave doing it. I hope you're okay with that. I hope you're going to be all right. I'm pulling for you. I really hope you're going to be okay because I'm not stopping. E4, what's up, man? German soccer coach, quote, some people think football is a matter of life and death. Those people are wrong. Football is much more important than that. I remember that quote. Obviously, that's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but certainly feels like it this time of year. You know, when you start talking about, you know, playoffs and championship possibilities, yeah, it's a matter of life and death. Certainly feels like that in your heart, right? The Guardian says Evan Williams is a future Pro Bowler. Hell, he could be a Pro Bowler this year. He probably should be. But we'll see. Ways to go yet. So much of that depends on how you play down the stretch in big games, nationally televised games, etc. But yeah, man, he absolutely is in that conversation already. No doubt about it. All right, folks, I got to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.